This week, President Biden called for an end to disinformation.
There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit.
Will the internet hear him? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. We as a country are trying to figure out what is true, or more accurately, whether we can agree on what is true. In his inaugural speech this week, President Biden called for a return to truth, and as you heard in the opening there, for an end to the deliberate spread of misinformation. That happens on social media platforms. In fact, it's built into their business models, and misinformation influencers abound. But that's not the only vector. Let's discuss in quality assurance, where we take a second look at a big tech story. Kevin Roos covers social media for the New York Times.
I think you can deplatform all the conspiracy theorists and extremists you want, but if the basic architecture of the platforms and the algorithms is still designed to reward extreme and engaging content over content that is true, I think you're going to end up replicating a lot of those problems with other accounts down the road.
What's our role as members of the media? Because you could argue that we also have been pushed to create more engaging content to get more clicks and ads, especially as we've had to compete with social media and we have less trust.
For sure. I think that the media is certainly part of this equation. I mean, I think there's an impulse to cover the outrageous and engaging thing. And I think that in the next few years, a lot of us will have to examine how we react to that impulse, whether we allow it to guide our coverage decisions or whether we decide to focus people's attention elsewhere.
Some of us heard President Biden's inauguration speech and went, yes, we do have to return to truth. And others maybe took that as not true. You know, do you think it's making a difference? Is it making a difference to start to have a national conversation about the fact that we live in these kind of parallel worlds?
I think we have to have that conversation. I mean, I've talked to a lot of experts on disinformation and conspiracy theories who say, you know, often people who come out of these ideologies, they don't just return to viewing the world the way they used to. They just arrive at some other mistruth, some other conspiracy theory, and hopefully that's one that's less dangerous and less extreme, and that might be the most we can hope for. I mean, I talked to one woman once who left QAnon. She realized it was all a lie. And I asked her, like, do you still believe that there's a cabal of global elites controlling the world? And she said, oh, absolutely. I just don't think this Q person has anything to do with it. Right. I think it's a little much to ask people who are this steeped in a conspiracy theory mindset to sort of return to consensus reality. But we can move some of these people off their more extreme positions and make them less likely to commit sort of offline violence and harm.
We just in the past few weeks got essentially a real-time experiment in deplatforming, which is something disinformation researchers have called for, but we haven't seen really at scale. And I think I saw one study that said something like disinformation on Twitter declined something like 70% after President Trump was basically banned. Is it going to be harder to make the argument that that's not the remedy?
I think it will become clear in the coming weeks, like how effective those bans were. I mean, President Trump is a sort of special case in that he has, you know, tens of millions of followers who will sort of seek him out on whatever platform he's on. But I do think it's been quieter. I mean, frankly, it's there's been less prominent disinformation. There have been fewer influencers to kind of benefit from spreading it. It's been sort of eerily quiet on the internet since President Trump was banned from these big platforms. So I think that'll continue to play out. I think there will probably be a number of the president's followers who migrate to some other platform, probably won't be Parler, but might be something else along those lines. And I think that will sort of accelerate the kind of what they call the splintering of the internet into sort of political factions.
Kevin Roos is a reporter for the New York Times. And now for some related links. First, I feel like we're overdue for a definition, one that I got explained to me a few months ago in a Zoom conference and failed to pass on. My bad. misinformation versus disinformation. Misinformation is stuff that's just wrong, but can be disproven if some fact checker comes along or someone in the comments posts the real thing, like someone saying masks don't work to protect you from the coronavirus or injecting bleach does. People might spread misinformation on purpose, but ultimately it is disprovable. Disinformation, however, is wrong information spread on purpose that can't be disproven. So a big, huge conspiracy theory about pedophile Satanists running the world is disinformation, but part of its insidiousness is that it can't be disproven because it's just a lie. The lie about the election being stolen, for example, has elements of both misinformation and disinformation. Anyway, one of the ways researchers have asked platforms to deal with misinformation and disinformation is to stop amplifying it and deplatforming or taking down influencers and accounts that spread it. You heard me mention this with Kevin Roos, and specifically, a research firm called Zignal Labs has found that after Twitter banned President Trump, misinformation about election fraud plummeted 73% across social media, going from 2.5 million mentions to just 688,000. Researchers will, of course, have a field day with this, and obviously Trump is a slightly unique case because of sheer reach and size of megaphone. But the researchers also found that banning tens of thousands of other accounts spreading conspiracy theories also led to a massive drop in conversations related to the Capitol riot. Speaking of sources for mis- and disinformation, a federal judge in Seattle ruled Thursday that Amazon does not have to host the social media app Parler, which Amazon booted from its AWS hosting services after the app became a home for pro-Trump extremists who planned and celebrated the Capitol assault. The First Amendment means you can say it, but no one has to do business with you. Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produced the show. Our engineers are Robin Edgar and Becca Weinman. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.